You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
They say a win is a win in the NFL. It doesn't matter if it's pretty or not. Style points, that happens in college, not the NFL. But the Kansas City Chiefs are probably saying, hey, it was ugly, but it was a win, squeaking by the Giants last night. And it's been this way for Kansas City for a little while. 12 penalties, turned the ball over twice last night. They had drops, mental mistakes. Patrick Mahomes a little bit better at checking down, taking what the defense was going to give him. But still, he missed guys, looked uncomfortable at times. Defense did hold New York to 17 points, but this isn't a good Giants offensive team. The Chiefs now improved to 500. They're 4-4. All you got to do is win your division, and you're going to have a home playoff game. They have time to fix this. I don't know if they have the players to fix this. And the schedule is tough. They got the Packers next week. They have the Raiders. They have the Cowboys. And the way they played against New York is just not good enough to beat the better teams in the NFL. Ryan Clark, former defensive back for the Steelers, works for the mothership. He'll join us coming up. How would he defend Patrick Mahomes? Mahomes targeted Tyreek Hill 18 times last night. Hill had 12 catches. He averaged 7.8 yards per catch. A lot of crossing patterns. They're hoping if they had crossing patterns, maybe he could break one. Mahomes threw 7 checkdowns to his running backs, completing all 7. Can Patrick Mahomes be a game manager? I mean, this is what it is. That's the approach they have to have. Defenses are playing very deep. Everything's in front of them. Why these defenses didn't do this earlier is mind-boggling. I would never, never let Tyreek Hill have single coverage. He's never beating me deep. Now, sounds great in philosophy. The same with Travis Kelce. Everything's in front, because it'd be like if I said to Trae Young or Steph Curry, you can't shoot threes. We're going to take the three away from you. Are you still going to shoot threes? Are you going to force threes? Or are you going to take the two? That's what defenses are saying to Patrick Mahomes. Because Mahomes, I likened him to football's version of Steph Curry. Sometimes you don't know how he's doing it, but he's incredible. Now those defenses are saying, let's see if you can just take what we give you without getting panicky, desperate. And you're starting to see if Patrick Mahomes is able to do that. They're not blowing people out. They're not going to blow people out. And their defense played okay last night, but it was against the Giants. What happens when you face the Packers, the Raiders, the Cowboys? That's where you're going to find out just how good the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be this year. But if you said, okay, you're 500, you're sort of surviving here, but you have a tough schedule. Denver's not good. We're not sure about the Raiders. They seem to be up and down. Chargers, they've been up and down as well. Kansas City has to look at the division and say, all right, it's not pretty, but in our division, it's still okay. And now, the second half of the season, we're going to find out Andy Reid, and we're going to find out Patrick Mahomes. And maybe we're going to find out about Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Honey Badger. Are they going to be able to step up and make some plays?
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Nick Wright, first things first, co-host on Fox Sports 1. And I love the shirt there. You're flying the colors. What's up, Mahomes? Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Courtesy of the DB show, which I do have a question.
Yeah.
How the hell did you get my home address? I don't share that. It just shows up. I don't know that I want Paulie, Seton, Fritzy, certainly not you, to know where I live.
Paulie, give everybody Nick Wright's home address so they sure can send him some gear.
It's a cul-de-sac.
Yeah. I got it from Jenna Wolf.
I add her to the list of people I don't need to know where I live. Yeah. What's happening here?
Yeah.
And thank you. Appreciate the swag.
You're welcome.
Handwritten note as well, which I did like.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Aesthetically, was that a win last night for the Chiefs?
Listen, when you're a gritty defensive-minded team like my hometown Chiefs, survive in advance, Dan Patrick. That's where the Chiefs are. So here, let me paint the picture for you.
Okay.
in the rosiest terms possible. If I were to tell you there was going to be a team, this team the first month of the season would have a historically bad defense. This team the second month of the season would forget how to play offense. This team the entirety of the season would be on pace to set the all-time turnover record for modern football, and they would have a schedule that includes four playoff teams from last year plus the upstart Chargers. And I told you the midway point, they're a game out of first in the division. Everybody healthy. Just added Melvin Ingram. You might say they might be turning it around. You say, Nick, you're being a little too optimistic. Well, Vegas doesn't agree with you. As you look at the old line for this weekend, Aaron Rodgers coming to Arrowhead. By the way, Aaron Rodgers, they played Thursday. The Chiefs played last night. Seems a little unfair, Goodell, but that's not my business. The Chiefs are favored in that game. So I say all that to say this. With Derrick Henry out, with the Bengals losing to the Jets, with the Ravens up and down, the Chargers all of a sudden falling apart, aside from Buffalo, I don't think there's a team we can say in the AFC is excellent. And I still believe Patrick Mahomes is great. He just hasn't looked like it the last month. So we'll see. It was an ugly win. They have to go win two of their next three against the Packers, Raiders, and Cowboys, and then we'll see. But I don't think they're dead. I think it'd be silly to write them off.
All right. You look at this team, and you know, I wonder what their identity is. Do they know their identity after eight games?
No, because and that I think is being used against them, which the identity has been, we're going to kill you with the deep shot, and teams are taking that away. But they are. But when you take that away, what is available to you is the easy stuff, and they have been correct in betting. The Chiefs won't just take it. And last night, on that first drive of the game, they took the easy stuff. They drove all the way down the field, but then they can't help themselves. It's second down. Is that Travis Kelce in the backfield? Oh, my God, he's lateraling to Mahomes. It's a wasted play. And then on third down, you get a little unlucky, and a ball goes off a guy's face mask. And then those things start to snowball. I couldn't believe it, but I was watching the game last night. I'm like, just run the ball. I know it's modern football and you have Mahomes, but if they are giving you eight guys dropping into coverage, then just take the 8-yard runs you're going to get every time. And teams are correctly betting the Chiefs won't be patient enough. And up to this point, they haven't been. If they show that patience, they'll have to come out of it. And the moment you come out of it, they kill you because the skill is still there. And Mahomes is still, I believe, the most talented player in the league. He just hasn't played like it the last month.
Yeah, you start to watch and you wonder, can you be a game manager? And last hour, I liken Mahomes to Steph Curry. Like, they've sort of reinvented, you know, their positions.
Yeah.
But if I said to Steph Curry, hey, there's all the defense on the perimeter, you got to now take the 15-footer or try to get to the hoop. Is he willing to do, or Trae Young, if I said, hey, you can't shoot the three, you got to go inside. So your mind says, well, that's not who I am. My identity. And I wonder about that with Mahomes. If you say, here's your check down, here's your 7 yards, here's nine, maybe throw a home run. Maybe we don't have spectacular players. Maybe we take a Tom Brady approach where we just kind of get it down the field.
And that's hard. And I would change the Steph analogy a little bit to not Steph, you take the 15-footer, Steph, you get to the hoop. Steph, we're going to post up Wiseman. And I promise you it'll work because the guy on him is 6'1". They're putting all their length on the perimeter. Just give it to him. You'll get a layup. And I think at his heart, Steph would be like, I don't know. That doesn't seem like the way we play. And it's just, Derek Gore was the running back last night. And I found myself saying, give him the ball. And it's even to me, I'm like, what am I talking about? But the defense is giving that to you. The Chiefs have to be willing to take it. And there is a level of they're turning the ball over 24% of the time.
Yeah.
The next highest teams are 15-18%, and they're the Jets, the Jags, and the Dolphins. In a weird way, Dan, that is a little reassuring because that is going to regress to the mean. Like, they're not going to be the highest turnover team in the league the rest of the year, but I thought it would regress to the mean. Last night, they had two more and could have had three.
Bills, best team in the AFC?
Right now, you got to give them credit for it. I didn't think they were very good this weekend. I mean, it was 3-3 at the half. And I saw Josh Allen became the overwhelming MVP favorite after this weekend. And I guess that's a reaction to Brady playing poorly, Derrick Henry going down. But the Bills are the only team that you can say are consistent. They had the terrible performance week one. Other than that, they've been really good. And the Titans had a claim, but Derrick Henry's now done. I don't trust the Bengals with that lack of experience, as dynamic as they can be. The Ravens make no sense to me. They are, at times, they look like, oh my God, they're the best team in football. And then at times they need a 66-yarder to beat the Lions, who are the worst team in football. The Chargers looked amazing, and now they've looked terrible. So that is, you know, the NFC is very different. The NFC, we talked to Mercedes Lewis today. The Packers are 7-1. They're in a four-way tie atop the NFC because the Cardinals, the Cowboys, and the Rams, and then there's the Bucks. The AFC is not like that this year.
Are the Cowboys really good, or do we want them to be really good?
Dan, I think they're really good. I don't trust Mike McCarthy at all. As far as people talk about clock management, I don't know if I trust Mike McCarthy to tell me what time it is, much less clock management. But the rest of it, Dan, they have Micah Parsons is awesome. He's awesome. Randy Gregory, when he's been on the field in his career, has been really good. Trayvon Diggs, to me, is the real deal. You have all that talent on offense, and winning a game like they won last week with a guy who had thrown three passes in his career, I feel like the Cowboys are almost never properly rated because for so long they were overrated by, I don't know if you know, there's some people on national television, maybe even some of my colleagues that are, you know, big Cowboys fans. Just talk about them a lot. I think sometimes they've been overrated, and now I wonder if they're a touch underrated. Winning that game against a tough Vikings team with Cooper Rush, after you fall down 7-0 immediately, to me is a pretty gritty, impressive win.
He's Nick Wright, Fox Sports 1. First things first, the first month of the NBA season, got an overwhelming storyline?
Well, the Celtics are a mess. I mean, I don't know if you played the Marcus Smart sound, but it's odd to me that Marcus Smart's like, listen, Tatum and Brown, we're proud of them. You're proud of them? Are you their father? You're 27 years old. Jaylen Brown's 25. Like, calm down, Marcus Smart. He's like, hey, Marcus Smart's like, listen, guys, even though at Oklahoma State they didn't run ISO plays for me, we need to let Marcus cook. That's how we're going to get going. That's something. You mentioned the Warriors. Warriors look pretty damn good without Klay. Now, I think it'd be foolhardy to assume when he comes back we're getting the same Klay on the defensive end that we had years before, but they look good. And the Lakers are going to be a massive work in progress all year until they figure out how they want to play. That's going to take 50 games. And then, to me, the overwhelming story is James Harden a great player under the new rules? I don't know the answer to that. He wasn't a great player. He was a good player before he started breaking basketball in a really smart way. What made him the scoring champ was getting to the line 13 times a game and shooting a dozen threes a game. He's had one excellent game this year. He shot 18 free throws. Every other game he's been okay. And if he's not great, the Nets are drawing dead. And Dan, I think KD knows it. Did you see KD this weekend? Threw the ball into the stands randomly. That was odd. The next game, he elbows Kelly Olynyk, gets thrown out. That was odd. I think KD's a little frustrated. So those are, to me, the stories so far.
Explain the new rule change and how it's affecting not only James Harden, but, you know, other scorers around the league.
Well, I think it's affecting, you know, the three guys it should affect the most are Harden, Trey, and Steph. Steph is leading the league in scoring. Trey has been fine. It's affecting a little bit. It's affected Harden a ton. What the NBA essentially said is if there is a foul, but it is generated because the offensive player does what I call a jabroni move or a non-basketball move, you know, tries to essentially trick the ref or trick the defender, we're not going to call it. So what, once upon a time, the only guy who really did it was Chris Paul, and Chris Paul would do it in the open court. He'd be dribbling super fast, no guy was behind him, he'd just stop. Guy would run him over, be a foul. It's like, oh, that's kind of smart. James Harden, and again, I give him credit for this, figured out, oh, I can, instead of trying to make a basket, I can try to draw a foul. So he would do things to basically just position the defender's arm between his arms, and then instead of going in a shooting motion, he would just throw his arms in the air. And the NBA said, we're not having it anymore. And it has really affected him, like drastically affected him. And I don't judge him for that. Just like I don't John Lynch, I don't say, well, John Lynch isn't a great player because under these rules, he wouldn't have been as effective. Harden was great under the rules he was playing by. They just changed the rules on him, and maybe he could have adjusted. But when you play one way for 8 years, like Dan, I'm sure once upon a time your game had a lot to do with athleticism. For the last 25 years, you've just been an old man jump shooter. It's hard to adjust, right? Yeah. I mean, I would assume.
Yeah.
You don't play basketball with me, even though I've asked.
Have you?
I mean, I asked you to go fishing. I asked you to go to a football game. I asked you to play basketball. But I don't have your home address. I send it to the studio. Probably gets lost with all your other merch.
I don't know. You sounded kind of desperate. And that's why I got nervous with your desperation for friendship.
Well, Dan, I don't have many friends.
I know that. Oh, I know that.
I thought you were going to be one. And no, you just used me for these takes. You know, last year I gave you 3 months of content when I said Texas barbecue sucked. You haven't had me on since. And now you're just waiting.
How'd that work out for you?
It worked out great for you. Yeah. You were like, oh, hey, boys, what's the show prep? Play the Knicks sound again. We're going to bring on the grill master. Like, okay. All right, Hall of Famer.
Did you catch any heat for the Texas?
My Twitter's just always on fire. I just mute everyone. My Twitter's a one-way conversation. Me giving the takes and receiving none of it, which is why I was so concerned when a package showed up to my house. But it's all right.
By the way, I had to point out to the Rams their Twitter account when they had the Teddy KGB all
you
in.
Lost.
Yeah, I know.
He lost
the Rounders clip. And I thought, oh, I like that you're all in, but somebody should have told somebody in the Rams office, watch the rest of the movie.
Can I say something real quick about that? I don't know how, if we're late, just real quick on that.
Okay.
If the Rams win the Super Bowl, it's fine. The Rams, everyone's like, oh my God, the Rams, look at how they're running their team. Anyone could run their team like that. If you, me, and Seton were in a who can have the coolest car competition, and I took all the equity out of my house and maxed out all my credit cards, I'd probably win. But I might be screwed long term. The Rams, to me, they are, you know, an inventor that knows they've got the next great thing. And they might. But they also might liquidate everything, come up just short, and just be screwed. I think it is an incredibly risky gambit. And if you're the Broncos, he was going to walk for nothing. You got a second and a third for 9 games of Von Miller. It's a great move for the Broncos. Maybe the Rams win the Super Bowl. If they don't win the Super Bowl, I think they're in real, real rough shape with the way they're running that team.
Let's have Nick back soon, guys. What do you think? Yeah?
Sure.
Well, that didn't sound...
That wasn't...
Let me try that again.
I dropped an F-bomb.
Let me try it again. Let's have Nick on again, guys.
All right.
How about tomorrow?
Yeah.
2 segments.
Maybe next hour.
Yeah.
Next hour?
Yeah.
I'm not available. I'm going fishing with my greenberg.
You're looking for friends.
Looking for friends. I'm going to be on the corner of 125th and Lenox in Harlem, America, if you want to just talk sports. See you guys there.
Thank you, bud. Good to have you on again, Nick. Thank you.
Yep, you too.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Ryan Clark is an ESPN analyst across multiple shows, including Get Up, SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt on Mondays, NFL Live on Tuesday, and more. Also stars in a weekly UFC show with Daniel Cormier, ESPN. It's called RC and DC, and their podcast, Face First, each Friday. He's the former defensive back for the Steelers. He's Ryan Clark, who joins us on loan from the mothership. Should that feel like a win to the Kansas City Chiefs last night?
Yeah, I mean, when you win a football game, you win a football game. And you know, in this league, Dan, it's hard to get W's. But you also have to go in and critique it even harder with the win. You know, now you can be harder on Patrick Mahomes, harder on Travis Kelce. You can, you know, speak to Dan Sorensen and that defense about giving up the deep ball without it necessarily feeling like you have to build these guys up because you do have a W. The Kansas City Chiefs have a higher standard than other teams in this league right now. You know, we expect certain things from them, and I believe they expect certain things from themselves. You know, I had colleagues speaking before the season, could the Kansas City Chiefs go 17-0, and they're 4-4.
Yeah, but you start to look at this, and now we're seeing defenses basically say, all right, let's see if you can be a conservative offense, or you're not going to hit those home runs. Why did it take so long for defenses to kind of figure this out of not let Mahomes throw those deep balls to Tyreek Hill? Maybe it sounds simpler than what it is, Ryan.
You know what? It's actually pretty simple. If you go back to last year, Dan, and I said this, and I spoke about it on TV, Raheem Morris and the Atlanta Falcons, when they played the Kansas City Chiefs late in the season, I want to say Kansas City scored 16, 17 points that game. It was in a win because Atlanta was terrible, but they played a two-high shell, and then they'd rotate a safety every now and then to Tyreek Hill on those deep crossers that he'd get from trips formations, and it worked. And then if you watch the Super Bowl, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even though they were able to rush the passer because they had so many injuries on the front line of the Kansas City Chiefs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers did the same thing. And so what it does is it makes Patrick Mahomes play slow as well. I mean, he famously admitted himself that he couldn't read defenses till, you know, halfway into the year he was the starting quarterback. And I think by making him play slow, by making them earn it, by forcing them to run, you know, teams are making them conservative and honestly quite boring, Dan. And you know that team likes to have fun. And so they're going to have to adjust and learn a new identity.
Can Patrick Mahomes be a game manager?
I believe so. But he's obviously too talented to ever just be that. What Patrick Mahomes has to be, though, is more accurate, right? Patrick Mahomes has to be more efficient. Patrick Mahomes has to be a quicker decision maker. And he also a little bit has to not be Patrick Mahomes. And what I mean by that is he doesn't need the big play all the time. You know, sometimes it's okay to hit the smart play. Sometimes it's okay to get the check down, and he's going to have to fight against that himself.
You in your prime against Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce? Who do you want?
I would definitely want Travis Kelce because Tyreek Hill got some stuff I don't got. You know, at least Travis Kelce, I can stay close. Hey, Dan, if it's Tyreek Hill and it's just me, that's probably over before it starts, and that's terrible coaching if that's what Coach LeBeau would have decided to do.
What's that feeling like when you watch somebody run by you and you know that you don't have that makeup speed?
Well, you know what? It's one, you're pissed off at yourself and you're upset with yourself because you should have got back a little deeper if you knew you couldn't run with them. And it's honestly just sheer panic, right? You know, the everybody stands up in the stands, people start screaming, and you're so scared that you can't look back for the ball, and all you're doing is waiting for the inevitable, which is the touchdown. It's one of those moments where you realize, you know what, some people just left the hospital with a little more than others.
We're talking to Ryan Clark, a former NFL defensive back, and of course works for the mothership. Are the Saints okay at quarterback?
You know what? I think they can be. You know, we haven't gotten to see Trevor Siemian play quarterback in a long time. Obviously, he had a great year at Denver, and many people thought that he could be the future starter or franchise guy there. And we felt like Sean Payton is the quarterback whisperer. I mean, to be honest, wasn't that why we were so excited about Jameis? Because we've seen Sean Payton be successful with Taysom Hill. We've seen him be successful with Teddy Bridgewater. And so when you look at what Trevor Siemian was able to do yesterday, coming into the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, he looked extremely competent. This defense is a defense that can keep you in games. So it can be okay moving forward, or at least as okay as they were with Jameis Winston. They still need to add a pass catcher, so you're hoping Michael Thomas can come back healthy off the IR.
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier that I would reach out and see if Denver would be willing to part with Teddy Bridgewater since he's already had success there, knows the offense, and would probably be an upgrade over Trevor Siemian. Therefore, I can keep Taysom Hill maybe at that all-purpose position, and you know, because you're lacking offensive weapons.
Yeah, I don't think moving Taysom Hill to the quarterback position is the answer for this team. I even believe if you go back to last year, especially late in his run, you know, you look at Philadelphia in game four last year, he was kind of being found out. They were figuring out that he couldn't push the football down the field, that he wouldn't get out of the pocket and run as often as he was or would when he was the Wildcat quarterback. And so I believe keeping Taysom where he is at that H-back, being able to play quarterback, is the thing to do. And if you can get Teddy Bridgewater back, I believe that's something you do. The thing we don't know is what they see in Trevor Siemian. Drew Brees kind of spoke about it on the broadcast this weekend. He said Trevor Siemian is more than competent, is more than capable of being the starting quarterback of that team. And I think Sean Payton, if he's seen enough, is willing to do that.
The Rams picking up Von Miller means what?
It means that the Rams are all in on winning the Super Bowl right now. Also, it means who in the hell is manipulating the salary cap in Los Angeles? You know, some people, like some people can't keep one cornerback, and, you know, they've been able to assemble, you know, probably this era's best edge rusher, obviously this era's best D tackle, and the best cornerback in the game. I think they decided that, you know what, they're going to rush the passer, they're going to get to the quarterback, and they're going to score points offensively. I know Von Miller was a little bit sad yesterday, and you can kind of see the emotion when he spoke leaving Denver. But I'm sure that all changed when he remembered that Aaron Donald gets double and triple teamed and that he's going to have one-on-ones all day.
Oh, I thought it was a must-cry situation for Von Miller, but deep down he's going, hell yeah, hell yeah. I get out of here. I'm going to L.A. I got a chance to play in the Super Bowl. Before I let you go, you faced Adrian Peterson. The Titans are coming, you know, going to reach out and I guess bring him in. I don't know what he's got left, but what was it like to face Adrian Peterson in his prime?
Oh, it was absolutely terrifying because he was a guy that had first-round talent, obviously, but he's top 10 pick, seventh pick of the draft, but he ran like an undrafted free agent. You know, like he ran like every time he got the football, he was fighting for his career and or his life. And when you have to tackle a man who has no regard for his own body, that's a very scary proposition. And you know, he's one of the best to ever do it. He's obviously a Hall of Famer. We don't know what he has now, but he was the Derrick Henry of his time. He was the guy that was without a doubt far ahead of any other runner in the game. And, you know, it's good to see him back. Hope he gets another opportunity. But, man, I sure do miss the old all day.
Yeah, he rushed for 140 yards against your Steeler defense in 2013.
Yeah, I remember that, Dan. Thanks a lot.
What is that like, though, when you know that this guy, it's going to hurt? Like, this guy's running, and I got to hit him. It's my job. He's got 60 pounds on me. What's that like?
I mean, I think it's one of those things. It's why you do it. You know, I think it's why we're kind of all screwed up in the head. You know, it actually excites you because you want to see if you can win. Who the better man is, or who we obviously know who the bigger man is, but who the better man is when you get your opportunity. And so for me, that was always the challenge in it. You know, can you step up and do some things that quote unquote normal humans wouldn't attempt to do? And so that's why we love the ball.
Ryan, great to talk to you again. Thank you. My best to the guys on Get Up. Thanks for joining us.
Man, thank you so much, man. You have a great day.